This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the third chapter, verse 16 is where we will begin. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. In the early church, there was a form of heresy that came about early and propagated rapidly. It was called Gnosticism. The Gnostics taught properly that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But they began to carry the concept of God as a spirit to extremes. And they theorized that if God is a spirit, and that God is good, because the universe or the world, the material world, is so evil, it must be that God did not make the world. And so in their teaching of God, God was a spirit, and he, eons ago, began sending forth emanations out from himself. And these emanations went further and further and further out from God, until finally there was an emanation that went out from him that was so far removed from him that it did not even know him. And it was this emanation that created the evil world and the world system. Now, because God is spiritual and only the spiritual really counts, and all of the material is evil, the Gnostics then declared, whatever you do in your body doesn't matter. You can do anything with or in your body, and it makes no difference because the body is totally evil anyhow, living in an evil world, and thus it really matters not to God what you do with your body. The important thing is that you worship God in your spirit. And thus the teachings of the Gnostics open the door for all types of lascivious type of living. Now, much of the New Testament was written to correct this Gnostic heresy that actually declared that what is done in and after the flesh doesn't matter. You can live for your flesh, indulge your flesh, that really doesn't matter as long as you seek God in the Spirit. Paul the Apostle is here correcting the Gnostic heresy that had infiltrated the church of Corinth. And rather than teaching that the body is evil and it doesn't matter, Paul declares unto them, your body is the temple of God. Now in the Greek there are two words for temple. One is Heron. And the word Heron referred to the entire temple complex. The buildings, the courts, even the temple mount. That whole area was known as the temple, the Heron. But this other Greek word, naos, referred to the inner sanctuary, the holy place, the place where they met God. And when Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, your body is the temple of God, he used the second word, the naos. Your body is the inner sanctuary. Your body is the holy place. The naos was the place that represented, first of all, the activity of God. There is where God worked his work among the people. The naos was the place where God revealed himself unto man. The Naos was the place where the Shekinah dwelt, that is, that glory of God there in the Naos, the inner sanctuary. So when Paul declared that your body was the Naos of God, he is first of all declaring that your body is the place of divine activity. Now God seeks to work through our bodies his work in the world today. God wants to use your body as his instrument in doing his work. I believe that whenever I lay my hands upon people to pray for them, that I am acting as the representative of Jesus Christ, and I am giving to him my body for him to use for his work, and thus through my hand he is able to lay his hand upon people. You see, my hand has no value at all. But the Lord, through me working, for my body is the temple, the naos of God, and thus he can use my hand as his hand to touch the lives of people. God wants to use your hands. Take my hands and let them be swift, or that's my feet, swift and beautiful. Let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Giving to God my body, that God might use it as his place of divine activity. God uses my voice to speak his truth. And so I offer to God my body as a living sacrifice, that he might use me, my body, as ever he sees fit for his divine activity, for his work among men here on the earth. Now my body also becomes the place of divine revelation. The natural man cannot understand the things of God, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot see God. So because my body is the naos, the temple of God, God ordains that men might be able to see him through me. Now whenever I come to that awareness, it to me is just an awesome responsibility to realize that I become God's representative to man. I never cease to just stand in fear and in awe when I stand before you, realizing that God has me standing here as his representative to declare unto you his truth. And many people are developing their ideas and concepts of God by what they see in your life, because you are God's representative. And I might add that God really doesn't like to be misrepresented. The Bible says concerning Jesus Christ that he was the true and the faithful witness. Thus, when Philip said, "Lord, if you'll just show us the Father, it sufficeth us," Jesus said, "Have I been so long a time with you, and have you not seen me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Now, even so, God wants you to be his representative so that you would be able to say, "Look, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father." God's divine representative before the world. Moses got in trouble because he failed to properly represent God. The children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness for almost 40 years. And they had come again to the place of needing water desperately. And they came to Moses and they said, Moses, we need water. We're going to die if we don't have water. Why did you bring us out into this wilderness anyhow? You promised to bring us into a new land, but you didn't do it. We should have stayed in Egypt. Why did we ever listen to you and come out here? And they began to complain against Moses until Moses just had it. And he went in and said, God, I can't take it. I've had it with these people. For 40 years I've been hearing nothing but griping and complaining out of them. And God, I just can't take any more. I'm sick of it, God. They're not my kids. I didn't give birth to them. And Lord, that's just more than I can handle. And he was just getting all upset, complaining to God. And God said, Moses, cool off now, man. They need water. And so go out and speak to the rock that it might bring forth water. Now, early in the wilderness experience, when they had come to this place, God said, go out and strike the rock that it might give water. But this time, the Lord said, now just go out and speak to the rock that it might give forth water. God wasn't angry. God understood their need. God wanted to meet their need. But Moses was still upset. He went out before the people, angry as could be, calling them names. He said, must I smite this rock again and give you water, you murmurers and complainers and just, you know. And he took his rod and he hit the rock. And God, because he was gracious and knew the people were thirsty, the water came flowing out of the rock. But God said, Moses, come here, son. Sit down, I want to talk to you. Moses, you blew it. You represented me before the people as being angry and upset. And you know, Moses, the thing you've been desiring more than anything else was to lead them into the promised land, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to take away that privilege. You're not going to be able to lead them into the land because you didn't properly represent me before the people. And though Moses prayed unto the Lord to change his mind, finally the Lord said, Moses, don't talk to me about this anymore. It's settled. You can't lead them in because you did not represent me before the people at the water of Meribah. That's how important it is to God that we properly represent him. Took away from Moses that lifelong ambition. Of course, Moses had done something also that was irreplaceable at this point. You see, God was developing a beautiful spiritual allegory in the leading of the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt and into the promised land. It was to be a glorious picture of how God leads people out of the bondage and the corruption of sin into a beautiful walk in life in the Spirit. And so Egypt was representative of the old life of slavery and bondage to the flesh. The Red Sea represented baptism, the end of the old life and the entering into a new relationship of faith in God as he preserved them through the wilderness. And Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that that rock from which the life-giving water flowed was Jesus Christ. And the first time, in order for the rock to give forth the water of life, it had to be smitten. As Christ had to be crucified, smitten, in order that he might bring forth life to man. But when Moses hit it the second time, he destroyed the whole analogy. Because once the rock was smitten, it needed to never be smitten again. All you have to do is speak to the rock and the water of life will flow freely unto you. And so Moses inadvertently destroyed a beautiful analogy that God was building in the Old Testament. And Moses suffered because he failed to represent God before the people. You are God's representatives. God wants you to properly represent him before the world, because they are drawing their concepts of God by what they see in you. The natural man cannot see God, but he sees me. And he develops his ideas of God from what he sees in me. The natural man does not hear God, but he hears me. And he develops his concepts of God by what I declare. Being the temple of God, the naos of God, you also are the place of God's dwelling. Paul went on to say here in verse 16 that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You are the naos of God. God's Spirit is dwelling in you. Jesus in John 14 said, "If a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." That word abode is an interesting word. In the Greek, it literally means we'll just settle down and make ourselves at home with him. It's the same word that Paul used in Ephesians chapter 3 as he was praying for the church that Christ might dwell in their hearts through faith. The word translated dwell, the same Greek word, that Christ might settle down and make himself at home in your heart. The question is, how comfortable is Jesus in your heart? As he looks around at the wall of your heart and sees the artwork, the pictures on the wall, your imaginations, is he comfortable with what he sees? What about the diet in your heart? Is it the kind of food that he enjoys? Or is it the flesh that you are feeding over against the spirit? Your body is the naos of God. It is the place of God's activity. It is the place of God's revelation of himself. It is the place where God dwells. Therefore, my body is not mine to use or abuse as I may desire. I am not to use my body for my own pleasure, but I am to use my body to bring God pleasure. And Paul makes then this solemn warning in verse 17. Your body is the naos of God. And if any man defiles the naos of God, him shall God destroy. Those are extremely powerful words. If a man defiles this temple of God, you are the temple of God. If a man defiles that temple of God, Paul warns that God will destroy him. In what ways can we defile our bodies? We can defile our bodies when we use them for impure activities. Paul continues this same subject in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where he tells us that we are members of Christ, and therefore If we join ourselves to a harlot, we are actually causing Christ to participate in prostitution. And he declares that cannot be. For he went on to declare, he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Your body is the naos of God. If you commit fornication, you are defiling the temple of God. And God warns that if you defile his temple, God will destroy you. We can defile the temple of God by using substances that have proven to be harmful to the human body. There are things that we can take into our bodies that are destructive to the body itself. And by taking these things into my body, I am defiling my body. And Paul warns, whoever defiles the temple of God, God will destroy. I've always admired Jim Elliot, who, when just a young man, went down to Ecuador and there sought with Ed McCulloch and Nate Saint and others to bring the glorious message of Jesus Christ to the savage Auca Indians. And who, in their endeavor to bring the gospel of Christ to the Auca Indians, ended up martyrs there on a beach of the Aranca River in the Auca territory. But this brave, valiant attempt by these young men, not counting their own lives dear, that they might carry the message to lost savage people. But Jim wrote a letter to his parents while he was still in Wheaton College. After he had won the National AAU Championship in wrestling for his weight division. And in his letter to his parents, he said, "You will probably hear that I received certain honors as the result of my wrestling." He said, "But I want you to know that I was not wrestling in order to gain these honors. But I trained and went out for wrestling in order that I might develop a strong, well-coordinated body, because I desire to just give my body totally to Jesus Christ for him to use. And I wanted to give him a strong, well-coordinated body. And that's why I went out for wrestling." The motive. Now, a lot of you that are in aerobics or whatever today, fitness classes, let me ask you, what is your motive? So that when you walk by, people say, "All right, you know." Wrong. Wrong. My body is the naos of God, the temple of God. And thus I should keep my body healthy, strong. I should be interested in the food that I eat, that I put into the body, in order that my body might be a strong, well-coordinated instrument that God can use for his glory. For my body is the naos of God. And if I defile my body, Paul said, God will destroy me. Now, what is meant by he who defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy? What does he mean, destroy? As we look at our context, verse 9, Paul tells us, that we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. And we are God's building. And that we have been built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And we are building upon that foundation, but we must be careful how we build and with what materials we build. For he said, there are some men who build with gold and silver and precious stones, and others build with wood, hay, and stubble. He then tells us that one day the whole thing is to be tested by fire. Now, fire is an interesting phenomena of nature. And fire has the capacity of transferring into permanency, or the capacity to consume. It all depends on the material in which the fire is burning. With gold and silver, fire has the capacity of refining, of purifying. Wood, hay, and stubble, the fire has the capacity to consume. Now, if you are using your body for your own glory, using it to draw attention for yourself, and using it to bring glory and honor, riches, fame, whatever, to yourself, you are building with wood, hay, and stubble, and when it will all one day be consumed when tested with fire. But if you are building for God's kingdom, eternal glory, then the fire, rather than consuming your works, will only transmit them into permanency, and it will only purify. Paul said, let us examine ourselves, for if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged of God. And it's important that we look at our lives and see, just what am I living for? Am I living for the glory of God? Am I doing this for God's glory? Am I seeking praise and glory for Him and for His name? Or am I doing this to bring glory to myself? I do believe, I am convinced, that a great number of marvelous religious systems that have been developed today have been built out of wood, hay, and stubble. And in the day of the testing of fire, they will be consumed. Now, that building that you are making one day will be tested by fire. That which remains, that which is purified, endures, you will be rewarded for. That which is consumed, destroyed, is lost. However, Paul points out, you will be saved as though by fire. You see, your salvation is dependent upon your faith in Jesus Christ. It is a gift of God. And Paul said, you will be saved, but there will be that destroying of all that you've done, because it was done with wood, hay, and stubble for your own glory, for your own credit. And thus is not enduring. You have only one life, and it soon will be past. And only what you do for Jesus Christ is going to last. That which you do for yourself, wood, hay, stubble. So Paul said, be careful how you build. Your body is the naos of God. And if any man defiles that naos, God will destroy him. The works and all will be lost, destroyed. And you'll be saved only as by fire. God help us to be wise master builders and to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ that which shall remain eternal. Shall we pray? Father, help us to realize that if we live for ourselves, our life is a total waste. But that in living for you, life becomes eternal glory. And thus, Lord, may we live to please thee. Help us, Lord, to realize that our bodies are the inner sanctuary of God, holy. And may we keep them holy. May we keep them pure. May we use them, Father, to glorify thy name. Take our life. And let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take our hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take our feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take our voice and let us sing always only for our King. God, take all of us. Use our bodies to glorify thy name and to bring men to an understanding of your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you go forth in the name of Jesus Christ, may you go forth to serve Jesus Christ. To use your body for his glory. And may the Lord be seen in you. May your life become the center of divine activity this week as God works through you. May it be a place of divine revelation as God reveals himself to perhaps those of your family that will be gathering at Thanksgiving who do not see him or know him. May you be a true representative, a faithful witness to the glory of God. If you've been defiling your body, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and meet with the pastors and just lay it all out before the Lord and begin over again. Keeping yourself pure, keeping yourself holy, yielding your body as an instrument for God to use in his work in the world today. For you are the naos of God.